Did you know we have completely ad-free early access to all of our episodes? Well, we do. Not only that, but we have dozens of bonus episodes waiting for you. Head on over to patreon.com/ghosttownpod, and you can check it out for 7 days absolutely free. That's patreon.com/ghosttownpod. Science and Seance. I'm Jason Horton.
I'm Rebecca Lieb.
And this is Ghost Town.
In the spring of 1905, two of history's most esteemed scientific minds, Marie Curie and her husband, Pierre Curie, left their children with their caretaker to attend a public event of great interest to them. At this point, the couple were huge celebrities, as just 2 years before, the Curies had been awarded the Nobel Prize for Physics in recognition of their groundbreaking work on radioactivity. Pierre was a professor at the prestigious Sorbonne University, and Marie, of course, had been the first woman in France to earn a doctorate and the first woman to win a Nobel Prize, in addition to being the first woman to become a professor at the University of Paris. They were a power couple and arguably the greatest scientific minds of their time. And they were about to spend the evening at a séance, hosted by controversial psychic medium Eusapia Palladino. Today on Ghost Town, the Curies, Eusapia Palladino, and the famed Institut Général Psychologique, at the time, the world's premier center for psychic research. Despite their reputations as evidence-based researchers, the Curies approached the séance with open minds. Though this seems a little wild today, or maybe not, depending on what circles you run with, spiritualism during the early turn of the century extended to every community, even the most scientific. First appearing in the 1840s in upstate New York, spiritualism gained traction across the plains and over the Atlantic, forming European communities in London, Berlin, and of course, Paris. Spiritualism is essentially the belief in life after death, and distilled down very simply, very, very simply, a reaction to the burgeoning technology and science that spurred the Industrial Revolution. According to Barbara Goldsmith, in her book Obsessive Genius, The Inner World of Marie Curie, quote, "In a world where messages were being transmitted invisibly by means of the telegraph, spiritualists came to believe that, if this was possible, why not a spiritual telegraph with which one might communicate with the dead? Spiritualists believed humans had the responsibility to explore awareness beyond their own consciousness, to delve into the realms of other worlds, including the dead. A lot of spiritualism was about attempting to make contact, be it authentically or not so authentically, as grifters and fakes abounded, all trying to cash in on the profitable movement. That being said, spiritualism was so accepted and widespread, scientists would often work in partnership with a medium or a spiritualist to conduct experiments on energy, psychology, and matter. The Institut Général Psychologique, or the Institut of Psychology, was created by psychologist Henri Piron in 1920. Piron was a colleague of guys like Albert Einstein and Hans Dreyche, the founding father of cloning, so he was in pretty good scientific company. Piron created the Institute as a dedicated space to study the mind, in addition to the cross-section of spiritualism and science, and it became, at first casual, and then a rigorous research foundation for spiritual phenomena. Eusapia Palladino had been invited to Paris by Piron, with the idea of having her seances be the centerpiece of the Institute's first steps into research. Truly, Palladino and her seances were considered the IGP's most ambitious project, monitoring Palladino's temperature, blood pressure, and reflexes, as well as recording her seances' meteorological conditions, acoustic vibrations, and magnetic fields. The goal for the Institut Général Psychologique was to determine whether Palladino's powers were in fact real, and if so, to place them within the context of known natural laws. So who was Eusapia Palladino, and why was she the person worthy of the Institute's focus? Well, Palladino lived a pretty wild life and had a cult following who attested that she was the real deal. Palladino was born in Minero Merge, Italy, on January 21, 1854. She was orphaned young, her mother died in childbirth, and her father was killed in 1866. As a little girl, she talks of hearing strange sounds, seeing strange things, and quite honestly, experiencing traumatic events. Palladino attests to the fact that she would hear raps on the furniture, experienced eyes glaring at her in the darkness, and invisible hands stripping off her bedclothes, all as a young child. After her parents' death, the 12-year-old was adopted by a rich family in Naples to be their child's nanny. At the time, noted psychic investigator Signor Damiani was visiting Naples, and a different medium in London named John King spoke to Damiani about a powerful medium there who was supposedly his reincarnated daughter. He gave Damiani and his wife this reincarnate's address and street number. Sure enough, in 1872, Damiani went to the address and found young Palladino, a strange little girl, and took the young nursemaid under his wing. According to Damiani, the development of her abilities progressed at a rapid rate. In the first 5 or 6 years of studying mediumship, Palladino devoted herself to phenomena of movements without contact, then spectral appearances, and then cultivating phantom limbs, and then the materialization of figures from the beyond. At that point, she had also married a traveling conjurer and theatrical artist named Rafael Delgaze, whose store she helped manage as she built her strange skill set. For her seances, Palladino would gather a captive audience in a small room. She always knew what phenomenon was going to take place and could warn whomever was witnessing her craft what was going to happen. She appeared to suffer greatly during her seances and controlled objects around her at will. Unlike other mediums at the time, manifesting, a very early version of it, was a big part of what would happen. A particular phenomenon had to be wished for incessantly, the strong desire fueling the occurrence. In these sessions, she was charismatic, raw, laughing and then crying, and flinging herself into the laps of her attendees. It was a true show, and one that evoked much in those who witnessed it. The first public figure who spoke out on her being the real deal was science enthusiast turned Palladino's manager, Ercole Chiaia. I'm pretty sure I'm saying that incorrectly. On August 9th, 1888, he wrote an open letter about Palladino, saying, quote, "The case I allude to is that of an invalid woman who belongs to the humblest class of society. She is nearly 30 years old and very ignorant. Her appearance is neither fascinating nor endowed with the power which modern criminologists call irresistible. But when she wishes, be it by day or by night, she can divert a curious group for an hour or so with the most surprising phenomena. Either bound to a seat or firmly held by the hands of the curious, she attracts to her the articles of furniture which surround her, lifts them up, holds them suspended in the air like Muhammad's coffin, and makes them come down again with unadulterary movements, as if they were obeying her will. In response to the requests of the spectators, something like flashes of electricity shoot forth from her body and envelop her or enwrap the spectators of these marvelous scenes. She draws upon cards that you hold out, everything that you want, figures, signatures, numbers, sentences, by just stretching out her hand towards the indicated place." He goes on for a while about Palladino. Quote, "She's like an India rubber doll, like an automaton of a new kind. She takes strange forms. How many legs and arms has she? We do not know. While her limbs are being held by incredulous spectators, we see other limbs coming into view, without her knowing where they come from. Her shoes are too small to fit these witch feet of hers, and the particular circumstance gives rise to the suspicion of the intervention of mysterious power." Because of Ercole Chiaia's outspoken Palladino superfandom, in July 1895, the 41-year-old was invited to England for a series of investigations into her mediumship. According to reports by acclaimed psychic investigators Frederick William Henry Myers, that's many names, and Oliver Lodge, all the phenomena observed in the Cambridge sittings were absolutely fake. Her fraud was so clever, according to Myers, that it, quote, "must have needed long practice to bring it to its present level of skill." During these seances, Palladino was often caught cheating in order to free herself from the physical controls of the experiments. She'd also take the group's hands and then break their hands to make it possible for her to manipulate the room. A scientist named Richard Hodgson observed Palladino free a hand to move objects in the room and use her feet to kick pieces of furniture. According to historian Ruth Brandon, quote, "everything rested on the question whether Eusapia could get a hand or foot free occasionally. She wriggled so much that it was impossible to control her properly throughout. If she could get one hand, and sometimes a foot, free, everything could be explained." Because of these multiple discoveries of fraud, psychic investigators in Britain considered Palladino's mediumship to be permanently discredited, and she was banned from any further experiments in the UK. But in France, it was a totally different story. In 1898, Frederick William Henry Myers was invited to a series of seances in Paris with Charles Richer, the founder of the Institut General Psychologique, One of these was with his old medium pal, Palladino. But this time, Meyer's was surprisingly convinced. Meyer's support of Palladino created a big rift with his colleagues, but nonetheless, he believed, now, that she truly did possess supernatural powers. At the Institut General Psychologique, Palladino conducted more than 40 seances, producing a range of dramatic and confounding phenomena. Floating objects, translucent forms, touches from cold, invisible hands. Quote, "No other medium has been studied with so much care, for so long a period, and by so many scientific men," wrote Hereward Carrington, a science journalist who investigated Palladino in the early 1900s. And this is where we reconvene with the Curies, who, on the forefront of magnets, X-rays, and radioactivity, knew that, well, there was far more to know, and were eager students of the unknown universe. Let's take a break.
Hi, hello, how are you?
Hello.
How are you doing?
How's it going out there?
Oh, good.
Oh, good?
Yeah.
You can't speak for them.
I can speak with them.
You speak with them?
Yeah.
Oh.
They're all hanging out in my mind.
Wow.
Yeah.
That sounds fun.
We want to say hello to anyone who's listening, supporting us, spreading the good word of Ghost Town.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We thank you, we thank you, we thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
And a good old-fashioned what's up to the Ghost Town government.
Woo!
We got the mayors. With the ability to find out if they accept an invitation to something, if they know if it's going to end up being canceled, then they'll be relieved, but they still seem like the good guy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That'd be a great gift.
Obsessed with that.
Well, you're going to want to go to Marissa Rothermel.
Hello.
For someone who will know if you should get dressed to impress in case you're going to run into an ex. Mm. If you're out, you're like, oh, quick trip to Target.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I can just wear whatever, sweats and some dank, mm-hmm, dank some shirt.
Like stained ass shit.
Yeah.
Look like shit.
But then you run into your ex and they're like, looking good. So you want to look good, but you need to go to Target. You would say, well, just don't go to Target. It's like, but you need to go. We need to go. You need to go.
So this is someone who lets you know when you're going to run into an ex?
Yes, but so you know to look.
You know when to like look right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I need that too.
Well, you're going to have to talk to Emma Hopkins about that.
Hello.
If you want somebody who can tell you that the person that they're making plans with are going to be indecisive and be like, no, you decide, no, you decide, no, mm-hmm, you decide, no, mm-hmm, you decide. You can plan ahead, mm-hmm, and just figure out what that thing is to save a lot of time.
Cut the shit.
Cut it
cut
out.
It. Cut the shit.
That's Matthew Clemenz Leray.
Hello. God, I want all of these superpowers.
If you want somebody who is going to tell you when you go back to your hometown,
mm-hmm,
are you going to run into people that you don't want to run into? And if you do run into those people, again, you're going to want to look good. Mm-hmm. And you're going to want to have your story straight.
Yeah.
What are you doing? What are you doing? It's the very impressive.
The best possible light. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Go there and rent a Bentley and drive around with them. Be like, yeah, I just drive Bentleys around. That's an expensive car, right?
Yep, that is one. Yep.
That's an expensive car.
Yep.
Like, why are you driving a Bentley around?
Yeah.
Your hometown?
Akron.
Yeah. Well, if you want to be prepared, you're going to want to ask Casey Weber.
Hello.
If you want somebody who is going to tell you that when you plan a vacation,
mm-hmm,
there's so many options,
mm-hmm,
you know, hotel, this, that, the everything, that's going to tell you the truly best deal,
mm-hmm,
for all those things. You know what I mean? Oh, this looks, mm-hmm, good. No. This is what you want.
Definitive.
You want that. You want to take that flight. You know, you'd rather have a hotel because Airbnb is sometimes not worth it.
Garbage.
You're getting the absolute true best deal. Don't listen to these stupid websites.
Mm-mm.
You're going to want to talk to Kelly Meehan.
Hello.
These are all pretty good, huh?
These are, I mean, I feel like I'm getting really jealous of our fucking government.
Yeah, they have all these like really.
You know, I'm like, you get to have that?
This person will tell you when you get in the car and you want to get somewhere, the absolute truest best way to get there. Like, you're going to miss all the traffic, and they know ahead. Like, if something, mm-hmm, pops up, they're going to know it.
Mm-hmm.
You don't listen to these apps. They don't know.
Mm-mm.
They,
mm-mm,
can't tell you if there's like, uh-oh, somebody is, you know, making a left when there's no left,
mm-hmm,
because it's during rush hour,
yeah,
or there's an accident.
Yeah, this takes you down some weird,
yeah,
tiny road that's going to make your life hell.
Truly get there faster than anybody else could possibly get there. How's that?
Whoa,
that'd be nice, right?
That's great.
You don't want to take a ride with Cat Joselle.
Damn.
If you want somebody who's going to tell you that haircut's going to work out,
mm-hmm.
when you're going to take a chance, you're mm-hmm. like taking a chance, you're bringing a picture, you're bringing mm-hmm. this, you're you like, want to do bangs,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
you want to do this, you want to mm-hmm. color because, you know, you're feeling like, I need a shake up.
Yeah.
I got to shake it mm-hmm. up. But sometimes you shake it
you
up.
You take it too far.
You're shaking yourself.
It's like shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This person will tell you, yeah, this is going to be the look for you, or
no.
You're
going to
ruin your life. And then when you show up at Target.
Oh, no.
And then you see your ex.
Looking younger than ever.
Yeah. You want to make sure that you got the right look and don't make a huge mistake. You're going to want to talk to Ashley Mattson.
Hello.
And our governor.
Well, here we are.
What our governor's going to tell you?
What?
All the dirt. The nasty, nasty dirt on the people you're afraid to run into.
Ooh,
so when you run into them,
yes.
and they're just like, oh, me? Oh, yeah, job's going great, and you know.
And you're like,
job's
that's not going bullshit. Great. Like,
really?
Huh. Odd.
I saw your
LinkedIn just changed. That's
yeah,
so weird that it's going
weird.
So well.
I heard your relationship was, you know, maybe on the rocks. Because just separate beds?
Wow,
I know that. Is that good? I don't know. You're really prying. I mean, it's really dark.
Yeah, it's really antagonistic.
Was your addiction issues popping up again?
Wow.
Oh, that's weird.
Okay.
That sounds different than what you're portraying.
Yeah.
How do I know that? I don't know. You're in the pocket of our governor,
Avian Noble.
You want no ads, no chit-chat, bonus episodes, just the good stuff. 7 days free. My senses are telling me go to patreon.com/ghosttownpod.
Oh my God. This break really hit home. This break really manipulated me in a way that,
yeah,
I don't know. I'm going to have to really
process. Realize you don't have access to any of that and you're just thrust
mm-hmm.
into the world,
mm-mm.
just crumbling down.
I know.
Like falling down a flight of stairs every time.
I'm a helpless baby child and I can and will be taken advantage of. Speaking of which, let's get back to 1903 Paris, where newly Nobel-prized Marie and Pierre Curie are also perhaps being taken advantage of. They are students of the spiritualist movement, and they are open to nature's mysteries. Quote, "We know little about the medium that surrounds us, since our knowledge is limited to phenomena which can affect our senses, directly or indirectly," they wrote in 1902. Pierre, in particular, was entranced by spiritualism. Introduced to it by his brother, Jacques Curie, also a scientist, he confessed in an 1894 letter to Marie that, quote, "those spiritual phenomena intensely interest me." Pretty literal. He believed that the paranormal realm was relevant to questions that deal with physics, and according to biographer Anna Herwick, thought that spiritualism might uncover, quote, "the source of an unknown energy that would reveal the secret of radioactivity." Both Curies attended multiple seances with Palladino, which they considered, by all accounts, to be scientific experiments. Based on my research, Marie was interested, but not obsessed. But that can't be said for Pierre. Marie Curie's husband felt passionately that Palladino was the real thing, and let his inner circle know as much. In 1905, he wrote to his physicist friend Georges Goy, saying, quote, "the phenomena that we saw appeared inexplicable as trickery. With lighting so they could basically see all around them. Everyone held hands so that Palladino's hands, according to Curie, were held and accounted for. And yet somehow, even with these things being seemingly transparent, she really wowed her scientific audience. Quote, tables raised from all four legs, movements of objects from a distance, hands that pinch or caress you, luminous apparitions," Curie wrote, amazingly, to Goy. Just a few days before his death in 1906, Pierre wrote again to Goy, describing the last Palladino seance he would ever witness. Quote, "these phenomena really exist, and it is no longer possible for me to doubt it," he proclaimed. "There is here, in my opinion, a whole domain of entirely new facts and physical states in space, of which we have no conception." On April 19th, 1906, despite bouts of almost deadly radiation poisoning, Pierre Curie would die in a freak street collision on a rainy day in Paris, falling under the wheel of a heavy horse-drawn cart. The 46-year-old's skull was fractured, killing him instantly. His death was sudden and horrible, and his daughters and wife were grief-stricken.
His daughter Eve would later remember that after Pierre died, quote, Madame Curie became not only a widow, but at the same time a pitiful and incurably lonely woman. But Marie Curie wasn't a denier of Palladino's power or of spiritualism, especially after Pierre's death. In fact, at that point, she kind of became a supporter. After her husband's accident, Marie Curie asked to have a private session with Palladino at a friend's home named Sergei Yurevich. We know this because Yurevich alluded in his 1944 article to this event, which was held in strict confidence. What happened in that room, we'll never really know. But publicly, Marie was a supporter, continuing to attend the IGP and all in all, going to 43 seances held by Palladino. Again, whatever happened in her session with Palladino likely made her even more of a believer in communication with those in the afterlife, as Marie continued to try and communicate with her husband for years to come. In letters and journal entries, Marie would converse with her dead husband. She says, quote, I put my head against the coffin, and in great distress, I spoke to you. I told you that I loved you and that I had always loved you with all my heart. And then she almost conjures him. Quote, it seems to me that from this cold contact of my forehead with the casket, something came to me, something like a calm and an intuition that I would yet find the courage to live. Perhaps, Marie writes, it was just an illusion. Or was it, she asks her husband, quote, an accumulation of energy coming from you? Marie Curie would go on to live for almost three decades more, winning another Nobel Prize in Chemistry in 1911 for her discovery of the elements polonium and radium, and founding the Curie Institute in Paris in 1920 and the Curie Institute in Warsaw in 1932, massive medical research centers. She also developed the first mobile radiography unit, providing X-ray services to field hospitals in World War I. But what she studied would eventually kill her, and the iconic scientist died on July 4, 1934, at age 66, from apoplastic anemia, believed to have been contracted from her long-term exposure to radiation. Palladino, of course, kept on doing her thing. She did a long mediumship stint back in Italy, where she was again called out as being a fraud, and then in 1909, heavily publicized by the New York Times and Cosmopolitan, Palladino went to Columbia University in New York City, where she was caught in a trick by a Columbia psychology professor. Palladino was then offered $1,000 by one of the attending professors, if and only if she could perform a feat in a controlled condition that could not be duplicated by magicians. Palladino eventually agreed to the contest. Palladino vehemently agreed to the contest, but did not turn up for it, instead leaving the U.S. and returning to Italy. On May 16, 1918, at age 64, Palladino died. According to the website Occult World, quote, she never learned to read or write, was unkempt in personal appearance, and could be rather boorish in manner. Yet she had been one of the best-studied mediums in history. The Institut Général Psychologique continues to operate to this day as part of the Paris City University in the School of Social Science and Humanities. There, you can study psychology in all forms at a bachelor's, master's, or doctorate level. Though there are no concentrations in psychic mediumship, showmanship, or seance studies, yet.